In the collect of the Mass today, we pray, O God, who by the humility of thy Son didst lift up a fallen world, those whom thou hast snatched from the perils of perpetual death. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Saint Monica has a reputation for being somewhat of a weepy woman, perpetually at her prayers, pursuing her wayward son, Augustine, for some 30 years. He fell away before he was ever a Catholic. He had not been baptized as a baby. He never had sanctifying grace to snatch him from the peril of perpetual death. Actually, this plucky lady, Monica, had first converted two pagans in her own household, her mother-in-law, which must have been something, and then her husband, Patrick. This she did by her patient but very strong perseverance. She played her cards that way, prayerfully, but very patiently. She had a plan. She had a long-term plan. St. Monica must have been a great organizer. But still, despite her deep faith, she was rather surprised when Augustine freely separated from this woman with whom he had lived for years without ever marrying her, and when he started to take instructions for baptism from St. Ambrose. Probably she would never have had to have shed so many tears, a bucketful, if only she had answered Augustine's plea. When he was a young teenager, he was very seriously ill, and he begged his mother to let him be baptized. But by the custom of the day, baptism was deferred until adulthood out of an exaggerated sense of reverence for the sacrament. The devil always does his best to keep people in general, but our children in particular, from receiving the sacraments. And so he fell into heresy, and like so many young people today, he just moved in with his girlfriend without ever giving marriage a thought. If only he had received the water of holy baptism, the water of all of those tears need not have been shed. What heresy was it that claimed Augustine? In his time, it was called the Manichaean heresy. In our age, it had its full flowering 20 centuries later, almost 18 centuries later, in what they called in the 1970s, if you are of a certain age, you remember this, the Age of Aquarius, the New Age movement. Aquarius is the astrological sign for the water bearer. During the last century, that same heresy of Augustine, the Manichaean, infected the church with modernism, which is still around today. Theosophy outside the church, and another heresy too came in this country. It was the heresy of Mormonism. All of them forms of this one powerful religion replacement. Today, it is at the source of feminism and ecology, earth worship and government spying, the death of privacy, the anti-life movement, the movement praising perversion to make it the law of the land, and the destruction of marriage. Political correctness, too, it comes from that same source, whether it be in the courts or on the basketball courts. For years, it was kept secret. No one really talked about it. The Theosophist said in 1875, these must be kept secret, our doctrines, for 100 years, and then they will be revealed to the world. And so it came to pass, and now it's larger than life, to be seen on a cinema screen in some local theater. All of the secrets of what? Of a heresy that is as ancient as antiquity and as modern and up-to-date as today's headlines, a combination of Greek paganism rendered far more powerful by the Jewish secret Talmud or Kabbalah, their mystical doctrines, all mixed up together and then dressed up as soldiers to conquer the world. It received its name, this heresy of all heresies, from a Catholic saint, the Greek missionary, Saint Irenaeus. In the second century, he studied it as Saint Pius X would do about modernism, analyzed it, and refuted it in one book, the book called Against the Heresies. We need to have a knowledge of it today, of this what? It's called in the Greek Gnosticism, which simply means knowledge. They believe in a false knowledge, but if we understand, if we have a knowledge of what they're up to, they won't be able to deceive us. To save our souls, to allow the good shepherd to snatch us away from the perils of perpetual death, it would be good for us to realize a little of this secret knowledge which seeks world domination. Essentially, it is always a replay of the scene from the very beginning in the garden, Adam and Eve and the serpent. He tells them the original lie. You shall not die. Your eyes will be opened. You will become as gods, knowing good and evil. In other words, you will have the power to decide what is good and what is bad in your life. What does Gnosticism teach? What heresy did Augustine fall prey to for so many years? Monsignor Hughes, in his History of the Church, calls it a confusing amalgam of rituals and beliefs, magical practices and theories. He followed one particular Gnostic teacher, Augustine did, named Mani. He was from Iran, what was then called Persia. Like Mohammed, he was powerfully influenced by some Christian ideas, some pagan ideas, and again, the Jewish superstitions of their mystical Kabbalah. The idea was this, and it still is today. Man is offered a true but a secret knowledge, a deeper understanding of life in which salvation alone consists, that this physical world of ours is illusory. It's not really real, and it is evil. And what really matters is not what happens here in the physical domain, that's the doctrine of Christian Science, but something which is purely in the mind and spiritual. Seemingly, this would be the opposite of some of the modern neo-religions today. What about global warming, say, and earth worship or ecology? But Gnosticism is a religion of deliberate contradictions. So they promote their great principle of androgyny, male and female evolving into one. That should explain quite a bit today. Gnosticism always thrives in an age like ours with two characteristics. That is to say, on the one hand, it seems to be very intellectual, rational, scientific. But on the other hand, there's this enormous thirst for something spiritual. In this case, it would be earth worship or global warming, which answers the need of a poor, deceived human heart. The Manichaeans, the Gnostics, teach that the world was not made by God, but by a demiurge or by a devil, and that the God who made this world, whom we worship as Catholics, is actually wicked and evil and selfish and is out to destroy us, and that God only seemed to become a man and die on the cross. There's no incarnation. And really, the whole point is that everybody is God. That's pantheism. You have these little points of light in you, particles of light, they call them. And our Lord died to show you the way in order to release these little particles of light that are trapped in matter. Explained this way, it seems a silly idea, doesn't it? And yet, it captivated and still captivates an age. They also taught that marriage was bad. But if there was one thing worse than getting married, it was procreation, having children, that anything was all right in that department except having children. They also had their perfect, their leaders, who were vegetarians and were never allowed even to pick fruit or to prepare a meal, and they were never allowed to drink or to eat meat, things like that. Then the other ones were just called the hearers, and they served or waited on the perfect ones as a way of obtaining merit and forgiveness of their sins. This same heresy reappeared, that's how we got the rosary, in southern France during the Middle Ages. It was known then as the Cathars or the Albigensian movement. It was that same duality, two gods, the evil god of this world and the good god up there who is unknowable. This heresy made its appearance at the Protestant Revolt, which taught that human nature is essentially evil and that you really can't help committing sin, and that the end, it just doesn't make any difference. All you have to do, instead of having an intellectual faith, is just a feeling, a kind of a trust in our Lord as your Savior. Whereas we Catholics know that grace elevates man, makes him to share the divine nature. It transforms us. It cleans us up. It changes us. That is why the sacraments, devoutly received, are so important. But always the heretics have that idea that we're just helpless little bits of light trapped in dark matter. These same ideas would reappear in the 19th century, as I say, with the Mormons, who have that same idea that original sin was a good thing and that Adam and Eve had to steal that knowledge from God, who was wicked. And the Theosophical movement. But especially of interest to us is modernism, which has invaded and taken over the Catholic Church. Modernism denies that there's any objective truth of revelation. It teaches that faith is a kind of a feeling for things that are divine. As people will say today, well, I'm not religious, you know, but I'm spiritual. That's the idea of modernism, Manichaeism, and Gnosticism. That religions change over time, that truth changes, because mankind is always evolving and evolving into one. That's the teaching of Teilhard de Chardin. Evolutionism, very important today. But always there are the same characteristics. It's one root, and all of this poison fruit, the idea of suspicion, rejection of tradition, the dislike of any objective, clear principles, the statement of faith. No. They propose to you freedom, perfect liberty, individual liberty, but at the same time, once they start to have power or control, you're only free to follow them and to obey them. Multiculturalism, which they promote so heavily, has to be maintained at gunpoint, as it were, or at least by the use of severe pressure. Yesterday's truths become today's lies and are denominated as hate speech by the Gnostics, and they have to be persecuted as such. The time is soon coming when those of us who keep the old religion perhaps will be tolerated if we keep quiet about it. But St. Monica, she knew what was going on. She never kept quiet. She knew what the new religion was, and give it any name you want to, she fought against it, against this seemingly tolerant and pluralistic idea, which actually this movement always has a diabolic center, a very coherent agenda, and it wants, like a superbug, to get in everywhere and to eat up everything. How did the new religion take over most Catholic churches in the last 50 years? The English convert, Malcolm Muggeridge. He gave an interesting simile. You've heard it before. The idea of the frogs being boiled in water very slowly. That's how it happened. At the beginning, it seemed warm and pleasant, this bath of water. And when it started to get hot, they still didn't move. And all of a sudden, it was too late for the frogs to jump out of the pot. The same thing with this wash of emotion, sentiment, good feelings going along with everybody, which the Gnosticism of today uses in order to get you. That's how they took over the Vatican II Church. That's how they're picking off the traditionalists who are legal in the eyes of the New Rome. That's always their program. Legalize, absorb, destroy. Every one of today's issues, global warming, multiculturalism, the destruction of marriage, perversion, all the rest of it, these are all essential parts of one hidden, occult, but very coherent agenda. The idea is the devil's dream. It goes back to the garden. He wants to create a new mankind, a new humanity which is freed of Almighty God and freed of his worship and revealed religion. And this they're going to do by any means which are necessary. So that is why you see more and more today in place their agenda. How? By the passing of civil laws, court decisions. And then what follows is media and societal and personal pressure. Then after that come false accusations, ridicule, censure for those who will not go along with this new religion. Finally, the elimination of God, the Catholic God of revelation, of Scripture, and of tradition. See how far it has gone that this new pope of the new church openly declares, I do not believe in a Catholic God. Never mind the little knowledge that you and I might be able to obtain about this heresy at the root of all of the others should never make us discouraged. We should have confidence that our Lord is still today the Good Shepherd, and he still bends down by the humility of the cross to lift up a fallen world. God doesn't create a new world. God doesn't tell us we have to escape this world, but he lifts up a fallen world by the humility of his Son, and by sanctifying grace transforms it and changes it to be a new creation in Christ as he snatches us from perpetual death. Thank the Good Shepherd today. He sees us little scattered wandering sheep, and he lowers himself down to us, and he snatches us up and away from the perils of perpetual death. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.